And we are glad to have you listening to America's Web Radio. It's time for Medicine on Call, and Dr. Elena George is on her way. She'll be here momentarily. We'll be back right after a couple of messages.
Are you tired of taking medication to control your allergy symptoms? Do you suffer from uncontrollable asthma or eczema? Sublingual immunotherapy is a safe and effective alternative. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is committed to bringing the newest medical advances to their patients. With sublingual immunotherapy, you can now train your immune system to stop responding to environmental and food allergies. No more shots, no more trips to the doctor, and freedom from taking daily allergy medication. The drops are simply placed under the tongue 3 times a day. Both children and adults can be treated. It is safe and cost effective. Call Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center today at 404-591-9100 for more information or to make an appointment. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Mention that you heard about sublingual immunotherapy on Radio Sandy Springs and get free allergy testing.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Anna Glenn, we're glad to have you listening to America's Web Radio, and Dr. George just walked in the door, and sorry that you're having traffic problems out there, but that's Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it is, actually.
So they, I've never seen a city and or a state that's reactive instead of proactive. They wait until we have a terrible problem. Then they start fixing the roads, but they're already 5 years late by the time they get them finished.
Well, all I want to do, I want to see them stop the toll on 400, which I think was supposed to have ended.
About 10 years ago?
Yeah. So they claim it's going to be over, I think, at the end of this year.
Ah.
So that, I'm looking forward to that one, but they'll probably sock us with some other taxes to make up for it.
I wouldn't hold my breath. You have an interesting topic today, and I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about it. It's politics being revealed in Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's all politics, I would assume.
Well, it shouldn't be. It should be about health care, but it's, you know, this supposed bill is chock full of things that people are not expecting and won't expect. Hold on, excuse me. Apologize.
No problem.
This bill is chock full of things that people don't expect, and it was only passed by the Democrats, so Republicans had nothing to do with it. Now that they had a chance in multiple times to do something about it, the Republicans still are basically sabotaging it from being unfunded, from having parts of it removed. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I think the Republicans and Democrats are basically the same, two sides of the same coin. And it's not about really doing something for patients and, by extension, the caregivers. This people are now going to get on. I mean, it hasn't yet come down the path, but I think it's a dummy copy of the health questionnaire that people are going to have to answer as Obamacare gets initiated. It's like 60 pages. And one of the parts of it is to ask folks if they want to register to vote. Why can't it just be one thing? Isn't it about health care? Or is it about getting more people on the line so that you can keep this about politics, Democrats getting folks to vote for them? Well, how else did you see this when the bill was passed unilaterally and now there's, you know, sections in it to get people to register to vote? I can't see it any other way except a political move. And I just find it really appalling and distasteful, aside from the rest of the stuff. You know, this is not a bill that's going to be it's going to be one size fits all, but it's not going to be a one size everybody gets to use it the same way. You know, the 40% surcharge on medical devices is kicked in. I know that there's been layoffs and downsizing of medical device companies. There's been, of course, the usual monopoly, you know, the Pac-Man effect, where the bigger gets bigger and the small mom and pop is out of business. I mean, that's already happening. And all that means for patients is that they're going to have less a less likelihood of getting state-of-the-art, new procedures, new techniques that are going to be applied in real time. It's not going to happen.
Do you think any of the manufacturers, we've been blessed for many years that we've been on the cutting edge of technology in the OR and in offices, mm-hmm. and so forth. Do you think the manufacturers will walk from the U.S. and take their...
They've already done that.
And not only walk to another country, but just stay there and not mess with the United States.
It's a big market, technically. I think you'll still have the old stuff that's already on the market. I just don't think it's going to be new and improved. And if it does happen, it's going to be in Philippines or India or China, where medical tourism is booming because our system is so antiquated and controlled, and it's just politically driven by the entities that stand to gain, and not the doctor, not the patient. And let's be clear, we're talking about hospitals, insurance companies, AARP, for example. You know, these are all corporate entities that had a very big hand in crafting the bill. It wasn't written by doctors. And the doctors that were window dressing at the back were not either practicing doctors as individual primary care, private practice. They were academics, or they were on someone's salary. You know, they're working for the big guys. So what do they care whether or not, you know, things make it harder for you to practice and keep your shutters or your doors open? They don't care. They're getting a salary. And those are not the people who need to decide what healthcare should be. They're completely cocooned.
You know, I'll be amazed. Pelosi's statement during all of that, pass it, then we'll read it. I'd almost guarantee you, as I'm sitting here, she still hasn't read it. And
she's not going to read it.
The effects of, I would venture to say there's stuff in Obamacare, 27,000 pages?
Mm.
Something like that, that may or may not ever be known.
Well, it'll be known after you get dinged with it. Then it's going to become known. I mean, nobody knows, or really it has not been publicized, that the different versions of Obamacare, there's different plans, okay? It's a cafeteria plan, supposedly, a bronze, a silver, gold plans. They still don't know what is going to be covered within the plans, okay? The doctor doesn't get to decide that. The patient doesn't get to decide that. Kathleen Sebelius gets to decide that. And they haven't even gotten that crafted yet. I can pretty much tell you, you know, common sense would dictate plastic surgery won't be covered. And even if it's reconstructive, you're going to have to jump through a ton of hoops to get it done. Let's say you broke your nose in a car accident and you have to have it reconstructed. It should, by all rights, be covered. But I bet you're going to have to submit pictures and documents, and it's going to be a big to-do because it's all about managing managing the cost to you that's spent on you, not managing the cost of what's coming into the system. They're going to tax you 24/7. I know you've seen that article where I think it was a sporting goods company, one of the receipts.
Oh, Cabela?
Yeah, I think that's the one, where the receipt actually itemizes what the tax is for, and it really finally just comes out and tells you part of that tax was for Obamacare. They put it in a nice way, but basically it's a health tax, health surcharge. I mean, the list is endless where this is going to be applied. If you're lucky enough to have the service still, you're going to pay more for it. But my take is, you're going to have less chance to access healthcare because people are going to be closing left and right. And, you know, they talk a lot about there's not enough doctors. Yes, it's true to a degree, but this whole system that we're about to enter will make it worse because not all, thank God, but solo practitioners, small person groups, independent doctors are closing and becoming employees of the healthcare system, the nearest hospital conglomerate near you. Well, it changes. People need to understand as soon as you enter a hospital-based system, the cost goes up dramatically. There's no deals to be made. There's no, you know, fee for service. There's no I just want to come in and see you now. That's not happening. There's no, oh, I'll just call my doctor after hours and talk to them on the weekend. That's done. You might get somebody from an, well, actually, you won't get anybody. You'd probably say, if you have a problem, call 911. Go to the ER. And as soon as you enter that system, good luck. Huh. You're probably going to get a PA that takes care of you. It's not going to be an MD. And if it is an MD, it's probably not going to be an emergency medicine trained and board certified MD.
What will they do with the wrecks and the heart attacks?
Oh, they'll take care of them. But it's going to be a cookbook. And you better hope that you end up in a hospital that has full coverage. You know, they have hospitals that have emergency rooms with no GYNs on staff covering, no ENTs, no neurosurgeons, no trauma surgeons. So you can end up in a hospital that's just basically a community hospital masquerading as an emergency room and then have to be transported somewhere else. That is already happening. You have to be transported hours away. It happens here in Georgia, for example. If you end up in a hospital in North Georgia, you're going to be shipped into the Piedmont system down into the Atlanta area because they don't have any coverage because they've made it into a, what do they call that? A call center. That's what it's called. So I've covered these as on the doctor side of it where I get calls from hospitals from all over, 4 hours away, where they want to send a patient for ENT care because they don't have an ENT in their emergency room. Now, my take on emergency rooms, you know, I don't think I'm wrong about this, but it should have full coverage. Why do you call yourself an ER if you can't cover anything that's possibly, that could possibly present to the emergency room? What are you doing then?
I thought at one time, didn't emergency rooms have to be certified to that extent that they had the capability of handling any, or it was called a trauma center?
It's level one, level two, level three emergency rooms. Level one is a trauma, you know, major accidents, huge numbers of folks coming in with devastating illnesses and problems. That's a level one. Level two doesn't handle that degree. And level three is really just, it's not an urgent
care.
It's like better than an urgent care. I mean, you're handling bread and butter stuff. Everybody can do chest pain. You know, you've got diarrhea, things like that. That's reasonable. That's a typical ER visit, a fever, things like that. But when it gets complicated, you know, if someone's got a tumor, they can't breathe, and you have to get an airway because they're going to stop breathing, you need an emergency room that's got an ENT. A family practice doctor is not going to be able to handle that. And I wonder, I would love to see the statistics on people who unfortunately don't make it or have a bad outcome solely because they didn't have the proper coverage. I'd love to see that statistic. It has to have gone up in the last 10 years, by definition.
Let's take our first break, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Moms, dads, listen to my radio program, Homeschooling for Today, on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll learn all about how to homeschool on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George, and we're talking today about the politics of Obamacare and the fact that this is bigger than us. This is bigger than our health. It's, and I say it, I've written about it, but I'm going to be right up front. It's about control, and it's about compliance, and everybody's got to do it whether they like it or not. Right now, it's like a scramble. You know, you have the small practices or small businesses downsizing their time that the patient, I'm sorry, as a doctor, that the employees work from 30 hours a week down to 28, just so they can go under the radar of becoming a full-time employee. Because everything the government tries to mandate, the opposite happens. You're supposed to be talking about improving the job numbers in our country, and people are just, they're dropping people left and right because of all of these onerous compliance issues. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You cannot manage or plan an economy from top down. And that's what's going on. That's what we're seeing. This is planned economy 101. Doesn't work in Europe. Ain't going to work here.
No. And not only are we as small businesses trapped, but now it's my understanding that, I use a lot of contract labor. I don't necessarily need someone on staff or a full-time employee, be it 30 hours or 28 hours or anything else. And now they're trying to, from what I understand, the government's going to be going after the 1099 contract labor person or after the business that uses contract labor people and put a stop to that, which... You know, what a domino effect of going backwards. Instead of trying to help the economy, everything the Democrats and Republicans do.
It's about control. It's about control. Remember last year or a couple of years ago, you were starting to see, kids with lemonade stands get shut down and you can't have a backyard sale. You know, I think flea markets have also been affected. This is really, they're trying to overall, and I mean, again, take a bird's eye view of this. It's about controlling every piece of commerce so that it can be taxed and it can be regulated and it can be somehow the government gets a piece of it. There is no, under the table, I don't mean that's a bad way to put it, but there's no individual commerce going on. Small little things that really, they're not big deals, but selling your stuff on eBay is a big deal to the person selling it.
Sure.
You know, that's going to totally be, they want to tax the internet that's also coming in there. I mean, it's just insidious. Where does it stop? Well, it stops when everything that you do is overseen and in some way the government gets a piece of it. It may not be a big piece, but it's going to be something. And it never ends. And that's from the time you're born to the time you leave this earth, as that death tax. What is it, 60%, 75% death tax? So you've actually paid taxes all your life. You've paid taxes on your savings. You've paid taxes, if you have anything in the stock market, on your dividends. And then they ding your family at the end with 75%. Some outrageous amount of money that it didn't really put any money into the big picture to close the deficit, but it just devastated a family. You could probably not even bury your loved one at this point once that tax kicks in.
It's like the capital gains tax, which I've always been opposed to. The government doesn't offer to help you. They just want a piece of whatever profit you make out of it or whatever you make out of it. Do you think, and we've talked about this before, to some extent we're hearing a little bit of the pig squeaking as he gets his tail caught in the door. But do you think this going to be the shocker that will wake people up, that this is – are people just going to continue, you think, to go along and say, well, you know, that's the way it is. I'll just do it. I can't, and you can't, and I know it. But.
I think that people are waking up, but there's still a very strong component of everybody – it's not polite to speak your mind, or it's – somehow not politically correct. People have to break out of that. We've been completely indoctrinated to become sheep and not to speak our minds, even when it's not in our interest not to do so, because we don't want to make waves, because we want people to like us, because we just want to get along. But the path that we're going on is down to the lowest common denominator, where the individual is basically poo-pooed. I mean, it's bad if you're an individual now. When I was in school, being an individual was a good thing. You know, going your own way and not being part of a crowd that's doing things that are just not appropriate, that was looked as, you know, courage. Now it's not looked on that way. So, you know, the system that the children and the teens, the generations behind us are coming through, I just have major questions about their morals, their ethics, things that they're seeing and that they're taught. I mean, for example, Tiger Woods has this ad that's come out for Nike, and it said that the tagline is "Winning is everything." So, what is that kind of message? Is that really send to children that you can cheat, you're on your wife, you can become a spectacle, but as long as you win, as long as you're number one, everything is okay.
He's back with Nike?
I
wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah.
I don't keep
Well, he's number one again. So it's all about the money. But what that sends as a signal, I mean, maybe they could pick a different tagline. You know, it's no skin off my back. You know, it's not me that he devastated. It was his family. And only God, he can only answer to God for that. But you don't have to have a tagline that basically glorifies, do what you want, be as bad as you want, but as long as you win, it's okay.
You know, I think I've told you the story. I got chastised when I was a baseball coach, kids' baseball coach, because I handed out a thing. Vince Lombardi actually came out with that line first, winning in everything, it's the only thing.
Yeah.
But he went on to say, you know, if you're going to participate, give it 120%. That's what his story was. It wasn't cheat, steal, you know, anything else. It was a very good article and that Lombardi had written, and I got tarred and feathered for handing it out almost. But in the case of what you're talking about, you know, kids are taught that, but then on the other side of the fence, they're taught, well, everybody's a winner, so everybody gets a trophy.
And yeah, right. There are no losers.
Yeah.
There's no number ones, but that's for them. See, this you just hit the crux of the problem. It's okay for kids to be mediocre, but they're supposed to idolize somebody who's completely flawed openly. Yeah. So it just sets your whole ethical compass off. You know, you're not going to really – you can't really achieve because someone did it to you or someone took it from you and it's not fair, but you're still a winner. It just makes no sense to me. Yet you're going to idolize people who are obviously corrupt, obviously really shouldn't be in the position they're in, yet they keep winning. And that means politically, too. I mean, that the list is endless. Bill Clinton, everybody out there right now that I can see, and believe it or not, that guy Sanford, what was he, the governor of South Carolina, he's coming back. I think he's running again. Can you really believe that? I mean, the nerve. I mean, that was just outrageous. And he actually could win. I wouldn't doubt that Republicans would prop him up and put him, you know, their next poster boy. It's just so ridiculous.
You know, this is, and you touched on it a second ago, that it's what our kids are being taught. And this is one reason that we hopefully are riding the correct horse. But I believe very much in homeschooling. And hopefully the parents are Christians. Hopefully the parents have morals and ethics and teach your kids. And if they do, then that's one of our last hopes and standouts, in my opinion.
It's very important, but, you know, the public school system is encroaching on that. So they're making curricula that have to be used by the homeschool
core
folks.
Curricula.
Yeah, I mean, so the tentacles are out there. You got to be very careful. And,
same as was used in Russia and many other countries, where they have everybody being taught the same thing, supposedly. And we've already seen it with history. Public schools don't teach history as you and I took.
No, they teach a version of it. Actually, there was an article on, or I should say a story I saw on the news last night about a video that children are watching about terrorists and how the gist of it really is that America is bad and that's why the terrorists exist, because it's a reaction to what we're doing in the world, which is, you know, that's indoctrination. If I don't care how you want to put it, and that's what you're teaching in school. And the parents, they're so busy working or, you know, trying to keep the house, you know, hold it together, that they're not paying attention to this. And the children are now becoming satellites of the government. You know, tell us if your mom and dad has a gun in the house. You know, do you live in a two-person household? I mean, all these are questions that are asked. That children actually do what they tell their stuff on Facebook. They're just completely open books, and whatever goes on, they're letting that information out there, and it's being mined. There's no question about that.
It's like the question at your primary health care where they ask, do you have weapons or do you have guns in your house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that. Why do they need to know?
Because it's about control and compliance, and they're indoctrinating doctors the same way with this meaningful use. And this electronic medical record system is the bane of privacy. And the information that's gathered on an electronic medical record system is out there, and a hacker could see it if they so chose. But bottom line is it's going to insurance companies, to the government. They're even mentioning that the FBI and other, you know, agencies are going to be able to look at it too. You know, they want to know who's got a gun who may not have it registered. They want to follow you, and you're giving information. Be really careful about what information you give. I don't care if it's to your doctor or to whomever. And you have to realize that there's a chance that they're not the only ones that's going to see it. And they've incorporated doctors in a benign way now. You know, if you do meaningful use, you get electronic medical records, you get a tax deduction. If you do the whole meaningful use intake with your patient, you'll get paid more for that intake. I mean, it's all very subtle.
Extortion?
No, not yet. Now it's just benign. You're just being a great doctor. You're just doing what's mandated. After everybody's online, then it becomes mercenary. Always. Nothing changes. It's like you get the candy to get you in the trap, and then the trap shuts. The whole thing changes. I had a conversation with one of my friends who's a GYN, and she was really specific, and she's been right about everything, so I trust her on this. Those doctors who go into the hospital situation, which, you know, great benefits now, and, you know, they get wonderful vacations, and they're getting paid top dollar, as soon as they fill their system, they've got their quota of all the doctors they need, then they're going to start making it tough. Your salaries will probably flatten out. If you don't follow the protocol and guidelines of the hospital with treatment protocol, you're going to end up on peer review. They're going to make sure that you dot an I, cross a T, not only because they can, but because they have to, because Medicare payments are tied to what you put in that electronic medical record, even you're down to the admission and the type of admission that you do. If somebody's an inpatient versus an observation versus an outpatient status, if you don't code that right, the government will not pay you. And the hospitals are onto that. So they're making the doctors walk the line. And you're going to be gone if you can't play that game.
We're going to take another break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We're talking about the politics of Obamacare. And I, before the break, I was talking about compliance and regulation as it applies to hospitals and Medicare.
You know, let me interrupt you for 1 second, Dr. George. I wish doctors would start standing on top of their buildings and yelling at this, you know? I mean, you all are the ones on the front. You're really on the front line.
Doctors have ceded the ground on this. I think AAPS is the only group that I can think of who's doing, literally doing something to stop the tide of this and winning. You know, they've stopped peer review and they've stopped, in some instances, maintenance of certification in certain states. They've actually stopped it from going through. So, you know, the AMA is useless. The average doctor is not political. It's about patient care for them. And they're, like, just being herded into a situation that's untenable.
That's I don't want to use the old, say the old doctors, because I don't want, you're not an old doctor. But it's, that's the doctors that are practicing because they love practicing medicine. The ones that are becoming hospitalist and the 9-to-5 doctors, I don't think they care.
Well, they've never been trained to care. They're trained in a different manner. And it is about 9-to-5, 5:01, I'm out of here, go to the ER. It's about just how many vaccines can I shove down somebody's, you know, into someone's arm or whatever. It's not about health care. It's not about wellness either. I mean, they don't even know about nutrition. I had to learn about how to really treat the problem and not the symptom because I wanted to do it. It's not because it was part of my curriculum. We did have a month of nutrition, but there was nothing, there was no tie to this is the deficiency that leads to this medical problem. I've never learned that in medical school. But that's what medicine's about. It's about learning constantly. It's constantly educating yourself. That's why it's never boring. But the mindset, and it pervades society. It's laziness. You know, just get it done. I'm not going to go the extra mile. Why should I? I don't have a dog in the hunt. You know, I don't have a responsibility, and the doctors who are in practice who practice that way feel that way, and the patients who go to see them feel that way. I don't want to take responsibility for my care. Just give me a pill and make it go away. I don't want to come in and see you. Just call it in for me. That's where we get into the situation. Had people been a little bit more protective of all the time and effort that it took to become a doctor, this would never have happened. Because somebody would have stood up and said at the beginning, how dare you define my value? I'm not going there with you, and I'm not going to let fear drive me into a system that's going to cut my own throat. Sorry, I'm not taking insurance. And that's how it should have been from the get-go. And in the Caribbean, for example, there's insurance. But what happens there is that the patient submits their bill to the insurance plan, and they get paid back from the insurance. They have to pay the doctor up front. You know what? That's a great way to manage your budget. You're not going to go and see someone for something dumb because you have to pay out of pocket. But you do get reimbursed back 80% of what you did. Right? So there's actually a check and balance with that. They don't really deny, well, they're getting a lot more like the United States, but back in the day, they didn't deny your care. If your doctor said you needed a scan, you needed a blood work, they approved it. But, you know, you had to pay your portion. What is so hard about that? What is so hard about making the decision, giving the decision back to the doctor and the patient? They act like we're both stupid. Like, if patients are given some money, they're just going to go, just give me everything. I don't care how much it costs. I'll just do it. Patients aren't like that. And the flip side is doctors saying, I'm just going to cut off anything I can cut off because I want to make a buck. Doctors aren't like that either. But you've got this third party, this middleman with complete disrespect for both the doctor and the patient, but wants to get a little buck from both, who's driving the system. That's unacceptable. And Obamacare doubles, triples, quadruples down on that problem. Now, not only do you have the middleman sucking money like a vacuum from you, you're going to have the government saying, you're a criminal if you don't like it. You know? Take it, is what the government is saying. And what? That's exactly what they're saying. And the older you get, they're now going to tell you, well, you lived a good life. You're costing us too much money. Just go somewhere and die, is really what they're telling you. That's unacceptable. I'm not going to do that. And I think we're at a point, a crossroads, where doctors who feel that way will opted out again from Medicare, because there's no way I'm entering a system to do that to patients knowingly. Now, they may come down the pipe, I hope it doesn't, that they mandate that in order for me to practice medicine on anybody, I have to take Medicare. I know it's coming. That's the only way to keep number of doctors that they need and, let me put it this way, good doctors too, in this system. It's going to be mandated. It's going to be punitive. The government, the Congress specifically has, I don't know if it's full of lawyers or what it is, but they hate doctors. They have contempt for doctors. They think we're all like they are, which is about making money and screwing people. I'm sorry, but that's what they really think. Why do you think they have that Pete Stark and all these rules about you can't own a surgery center, or you can't take patients to a center that you have a financial
interest
in. Even if it's a small one, you're just a part owner and it's a consortium. That's ridiculous. That assumes that you're like them. If you have a dog in the hunt, you're going to hunt all day long. You know, and your hammer, everything's a nail. We do have a Hippocratic Oath, unlike those guys, and we do follow it. It's called do no harm, part of it. And it's not about money. For 99% of the doctors out there, even though we're painted as a bunch of just money grubbers, it's not like that. And on the flip side, when you never take a break and you're always on call, I think we're getting paid pennies on the dollar if you really think about how much time you really do spend taking care of somebody. Either they're calling you for after hours, or you're thinking about their care, or you're going into the hospital to round on them, well, at least in the old day. Now they don't, because they have hospitalists. But this is all because of what's been foisted on the system. It's silly, and it's going to kill people, and people are going to be paying so much more money. It's just so painful to watch this come at you, knowing how it's such a lie. It's not designed to do what it says it's designed to do. What it was a big scam to get people to put their guards down, and get into the mindset of, I'm owed something. No, you're not. And I want to have the best care, but I don't want to pay for it. No, you don't. And, you know, I'm supposed to do it, and you need to pay for it. Well, nobody's getting off this hook. Remember this Medicare for All that everybody keeps crowing about and how Medicaid needs to be expanded in all the states? Well, you know, it turns out that it's 133% of the poverty level that this Obamacare will cover under the new Medicaid system. Well, when you're 134% over that, you're going to be paying some serious cash into that system that you're not even going to be able to use. And what does that do, Dave, really? It makes people say, well, you know, I don't want to take that second job because I'm now going to make too much money. Anybody with a brain will figure this out. I'm going to work less and I'm going to go on the dole. And what does that do to the economy?
Makes it look like Cyprus or Greece or...
Shoot, poor Cyprus. You know, 40% off the top of your savings, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this ad infinitum, and I keep wondering, I can't put a day and a time on when it started, but as you and I have talked, it's been a lulling situation by the pharmaceuticals, by the insurance companies, by, you know, they've been rocking our cradle for however many years, and I just wonder what is the driving force that has been able to go from decade after decade after decade rocking the cradle, because the head of the pharmaceuticals or whatever, they have to have died by now when it first started, or you'd think. But who keeps passing the ball on? And you know, yes, I blame Obama, and I think Obamacare, you know.
That's the end point. He didn't start it.
No.
No.
There was a foundation already there, and he's the culminator, maybe, is a way to say it or something. But, you know, it's culminated on his watch as
this has been in the works, Dave, for years. Little pieces of this puzzle have been being placed.
Who's kept the puzzle together or something? Or the plan together? We're going to do this 5 years.
It's corporatism. It's the creeping effect of corporatism. You know, these are big entities. You've got the oil industry. You've got the pharmaceutical industry. You've got, you know, the health. Was it the fifth largest? Part of our GDP is the fifth largest part of it, the healthcare industry. And they all work together. I mean, think about all the wars on stuff. War on cancer. War on drugs. War. I mean, there's a ton of money being spent in fighting these things. And to me, every time you fight something, it gets worse. Like the numbers go up, and it just costs you more.
You'd think after a while there would be a cure for cancer.
You would. Just like my favorite is muscular dystrophy. There's more money spent on that disease since I was a kid watching that Jerry Lewis telethon. And apparently there is a cure. And that's another show. But there is somewhere on the internet. Do a search on that. But that cure never came to light because it's more money to keep it going. You know, it's really more about we need to stop marching on stuff. And people need to stop being sheep. They're just so indoctrinated into wear a bracelet, do a march. It's just no critical thinking going on. How about somebody saying, well, you know what? It's now 1 in 7 for breast cancer. It was 1 in 14 10 years ago. Marching it and it's not working. Why don't we try to figure out why we get it and get a cure and really mean it? And maybe that will change things because we need to step up as individuals and then as a group and say, we're not doing this anymore. This is not working. We don't want to listen to you. You need to listen to us or you will be summarily voted out.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that sleep is an important weapon against infection? Sleep is important because it is restorative. During sleep, known as REM, the body recuperates and resets. For example, the immune system increases its activity and stress hormones drop. There is a correlation between sleep deprivation and frequent colds. The average adult should get 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night. And a child needs more since they are growing. Sleep hygiene is important to set a good foundation. Techniques to promote good quality restorative sleep include going to bed at the same time at night, avoiding alcohol or caffeine prior to bedtime, avoiding exercise in the evening, reading to a young child at bedtime, avoidance of drinking fluids late in the evening, and avoidance of taking decongestants at bedtime. If you are having problems sleeping more than once a week, you should see a doctor for further evaluation. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, host of Detailing Addiction and Medical Director of the Atlanta Healing Center. Please join me on Tuesday afternoons at 4 p.m.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We're talking about the politics of Obamacare, and they've kind of segued into, I guess, politics.
You know, some other shows that we've been doing, we talked about how everything is woven into everything.
Yeah, it is.
It's just amazing. And the grassroots, if there is a grassroots, comes back to one simple word, and that's education. If people would become educated on every aspect, facet of their life, they'd be a lot healthier.
They would.
You know, their economy would be better. Their lifestyle would be better. But they'd rather sit in front of the TV and be fed baloney than to take the initiative to do something on their own.
It does come down to personal choice and personal responsibility. And in the break, we talked about people don't know what they don't know. That's part of the problem. The things that you see on TV are driven to indoctrinate you into thinking that someone else knows better than you do. And you need to defer to this maven because they're just godlike. That's where we get into the problem. It's just pervaded our society, all this idol worship of people who don't deserve it. There's only one person or one thing that I idolize, and that's God. Not Dr. Oz, not Oprah, not Tiger Woods. These people are nothing, really. I mean, the fact that Dr. Oz can get on TV with a straight face and tell folks that organic food doesn't matter. You're elitist if you want to eat that way. Are you crazy? I'm an elitist because I want to take care of my body and I don't want you to tell me what I should put in my mouth. That makes me, well, then I am then, and happy to be so. But the fact that somebody is actively harming you or leading you down the road to harming yourself potentially, what kind of doctor is that? I mean, that should make people question him 24/7. And also the fact that he doesn't vaccinate his own kids, but he's out there pushing vaccines. Just, you know, walk the walk. I don't do anything that I don't tell my patients not to do or to do. If it's something that's good that I'm doing, I share it. If there's something that I learn that's not going to work, I share it, because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not being paid by anybody, by any entity, any corporate entity. I refuse to do that, because once you're in that system, you no longer have your own mouth. You are a mouthpiece. You are a conduit for some other agenda. And anybody who's watching, you know, I don't watch Dr. Oz, but I would be curious to know if any of his commercials are drug company commercials. I know that news is definitely chock full of various things, but they're never going to talk about natural cures for breast cancer or to prevent heart disease or to help your memory or to get off of medicine for autism, etc., when they're being, like, 90% of their commercials are Viagra or some sort of nasal spray or some sort of pharmaceutical drug. They can't, because that's their sponsor. why do people, we're just so, it's an amazing feat to turn people, their minds completely off in terms of critical thinking. You're looking at something that makes no sense. You know it. I mean, you can see it, but you don't somehow intellectualize that that incongruency. It's kind of strange, but it's fascinating to watch. But unfortunately, it's getting us into a lot of trouble.
And it starts at a very early age.
Sure.
I can remember, old enough to remember, that, and I certainly did it with my kids, you know, and I was over, you know, because I love my two boys dearly, and, you know, first sign of a sneeze, here we go, you know, let's go find out what the problem is. And, but now parents are just like, they treat their kids just like they treat themselves, just like you were saying. You were just give me a pill and let me go. They're doing the same thing with their kids. I can't fathom, you know, it's, give them a kid all this ADHD and all that. Oh, you know, it's all baloney as far as I'm concerned. Feed them right. Spank them every now and then, other than the fact that you'd go to jail if you spanked your child. But
oh, parent your child. You should parent them. Don't expect the TV to do it or the internet to do it or school to do it. If you're not paying attention to your child, somebody else will. That's what it's come down to. And the, I mean, this is just, the whole culture is different. The iPads in school, the electronic modules of learning, it's like it's virtual. And it has to be completely overwhelming, lights flashing, colors. It has to just stimulate them to all get out for them to really want to pay attention. Well, that's a problem, because when you have to sit and read a book and there is no stimulation, you are your stimulation. Your visualization is. These kids can't do it. Then their creativity is gone. Their critical thinking skills are sapped. They're just drones. And if you can't stimulate them enough, then they just turn off. You know, that's terrible. And if you don't know it, cheating's okay. And there's truth and there's the real, you know, there's different versions of the truth and right or wrong. It's not black or white anymore. There's more than one right answer for math tests now. You know, 1 and 1 is 2, and they're trying to tell you 1 and 1 is not, and it's okay. That doesn't even make sense. It's like I don't understand it. But it's something that's going to mess with our society as these kids become adults.
You know, to a degree, I'm hating it now because I'm an old parent and I love my kids. But, you know, we didn't do their homework for them. We didn't do their projects for them. And I have two of the most independent boys imaginable, which in some ways hurts because they do it themselves. They don't come to dad and ask. They've learned and they do it themselves. And I used to get really ticked when there would be a project and the parents were supposed to come in and look at all the kids' projects. And you could tell with you know, from 100 yards away, two buildings away, you could say, well, that one was done by mommy or daddy, and here's my kids that did it themselves. Fortunately, in many cases, they had teachers that appreciated and could tell, you know, or would tell, mm-hmm. and were fair. But it's not so today. I mean, I don't even know that kids do their own projects anymore. Either the computer does it or the parents running the computer do the projects.
I mean, the fact that they have a program, nothing. I mean, I think our only cheating thing was Cliff Notes, but you still had to read it and you still had to write it yourself. I mean, they have programs that'll, you know, data mine the paper to see if it's something that's already been online before. That's how bad it's gotten in terms of cheating. I was taught you don't win when you cheat, and at some point it'll come back and get you. Now, in medicine, you can't do that because you're going to kill a patient. So we really do have a standard that we just, it's not in the nature of most docs, a majority, to cut corners. It just isn't. The system that we're being pushed into is taking that away, taking that kernel away from doctors, because they don't have to do it. Electronic medical record system, you can pre-populate your paper or your chart now and just point and click, put in his or her. There's no thought involved. So all you need is just to be able to push a button at this point. You're not really thinking. There's no thinking. As you're writing a chart and you're formulating your note, there's critical thinking going on with that. this is how the story folded out. This is what I think, and this is why I think it, and this is how I'm going to solve it. That doesn't happen when you're doing electronic medical records. What happens is you're trying to just get it in so you can get to the next one because it takes you so long to enter the information. So it's all lost. All that art, that those nuance, the nuance of patient care is lost. And the hospital doesn't care. Just get it in so that when the Medicare folks come, we have the right documentation so we can get paid. The system is just, it's just messed up. And it's not going to get better.
And I guess what, now this sounds sort of crazy, but if it could be isolated, but it can't be. It affects everything.
It does affect everything. It affects everything from the individual practice, from the fact that Medicare, if you God forbid, you still take Medicare, you have to follow the same guidelines as the hospital does. But the hospital has a heck of a lot more resources than you do. You know, and you're just sitting in fear that I didn't dot an I, and they're going to come for me. That's a terrible feeling of watching, you know, looking both ways, waiting for the shoe to drop. That's not practicing medicine. That's basically living in fear. And when you do that, you stop thinking. And when you stop thinking, you stop caring for your patient as an individual because they become a potential problem. That's not how that runs counter to what medicine should be. It's now become a big business. It's all about documentation and compliance and regulation. And if you're sick, that's the last place you want to end up. And if you're not sick now, my counsel to you is to make sure you do what you need to do to stay out of the system, out of the hospital. And, you know, I spoke to you last week before I left. You know, I'm doing a new venture. I'm now going to become the medical expert for Trustdale, and those shows are going to be geared towards giving people real world, you know, real information about how to navigate this system and really how to stay healthy. And from a consumer standpoint, because we talk about politics and, you know, the show, I like the way it's going. I don't want to change that. But this other avenue is a way just to really key in on common sense, real world, you know, no subterfuge, just the facts that people actually need to know to protect themselves and help themselves and thrive.
Can I still say our Dr. George?
You sure can.
Our Dr. George is on every Sunday at?
5 o'clock. Not every Sunday, but this Sunday, next Sunday, on the Trustdale radio show on WSB. That's 95.5. And the Trustdale TV show airs at 11 o'clock on WSB or WXIA. That's the NBC affiliate, and that's also on Atlanta TV. It runs at 3 a.m. So, you know, tune in. I'll have an email. You'll be able to send me information, questions, topics for shows that you want covered. So that's going to be more the user-friendly. You're going to get the deep, deep information on this show. That doesn't change. But a little bit less politics and a lot more just how do I do X? How do I navigate a system? What medicines should I avoid taking together? You know, things like that, which are a little bit more user-friendly. So I want to thank you for listening to me today.